Boy, I tell you, sometimes when I get in the pulpit, I say to myself, your singing's been good, your testimonies have been good, just the Spirit's been good. I say to myself, well, I sure hope I don't mess it up. And, well, anyways, just pray for me. I mean that. It's just been so good. I'm blessed to be part. This church is not mine. This church is the Lord's. You're the church. We belong to Him. We're together. And I appreciate what you bring to this church. And bring your praise. Bring your worship. Bring your prayers. Bring your faith. Bring yourself. Bring your as a sacrifice to God. And He'll bless you. Amen. Great. Matthew chapter number 6, a very familiar text of Scripture. Matthew chapter number 6. And verses 25 through 34. Brother Peter mentioned this verse this morning that we're going to refer to later in the end of the sermon. This is going to be a verse-by-verse Bible message, if you will. We'll start in verse 25 and end up down there in verse 34, the Lord helping us. So find your place and we'll be following along in the Word of God this evening. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than raiment, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Winning the war against worry. Winning the war against worry. We all, from time to time, or more than most of the time, worry. We might worry about money. We might worry about something in the future, maybe job security. Some people worry about crime rates. You know, we have to move because of crime. Or we have to move because of this or that. Worry about our health. Worry about growing older in life. Some people worry about their appearance. They do. God talks about that. Here, he said, if you're going to worry about it, can you change your body? Can you grow 18 inches? All of us worry about things from time to time. It's terrible to admit, but it's true. God talks in the Word a lot about worry. He says to be anxious for nothing. The Bible is very clear here that it's not that we're not supposed to think about things. We are to think about things. But we're to think about the right things. You're not to worry about your life. You're not to take thought of your life, but you're supposed to think about fowls. You're supposed to think about birds and how birds don't have need of anything. Think about that now. A bird doesn't have need of anything because your heavenly Father takes care of them in verse 26. It's not that we're supposed to be mindless. Exactly the opposite. It's supposed to think about the right things and how the lilies of the field and how beautiful they are. And God clothes them. And if He clothes the lilies of the field, don't you think He'll put clothes on your back? It's not that He says, by take no thought, just be mindless. You know, some people think, well, you know, a worry-free life is a carefree life. No. No. We have to think about things, but we have to think about the right things. Seek ye first. That's what your mind, that's what your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody has said that 40% of people worry about things that never happen. And then the 30% of the worry takes back, they worry because of things that have happened in the past. 15% of the worry in life is because people are critical of them. They worry about that. And then 10%, they worry, they have problems of worry from worrying itself. It just stacks. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And only 5% of worry is really reasonable. None of it really even comes to pass, the things that we worry about. And I'm not here to beat people up. I believe worry is a sin. I believe it's an insult to God. I believe it's a sin. I believe it's an insult to God. I don't believe it's faith, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen. But I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here to logically tell you from the Word of God five things about worry. Five things about worry. And when we see these five things and get down to the end, we'll have a solution to worry. I don't know what you might be worrying about. I don't know what you're giving your mind to about this or that, what constantly bombards you, what you think about too much, that it just takes away your joy, what is just sapping your strength out of you, and it will do it. I don't know what your worry is right now. I will say before I get into the text, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God is your caretaker. God is your caretaker. Now, some of you in life have noticed or been around caretakers before. They're constantly with that person all the time. Caretakers. They're special people, aren't they? They're selfless people. God is your caretaker. All the responsibility is on God to take care of you. It's all on God. You do as God would see fit in your life and obey Him and seek Him first, and the responsibility is then God's. God is your caretaker. Now this is interesting. You might say, God doesn't have a care in the world. And it's that, a God like that, you know, as He is and powerful, God doesn't have a care in the world. You know you're wrong. The only care He has is you. The only care He has is you. Did you notice the switch? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The care that He has is you. The care that He has is your family. The care that He has is Bemis Road Baptist Church. And so because He already cares for us, we cast all our care upon Him. Let's look at these five things about worry tonight. I pray as I preach it can be a blessing to you. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Worry, number one, is inconsistent. It's inconsistent with the character of our God for us to worry. To think of us worrying is inconsistent with us saying that we believe that God loves us and provides for us. It's just inconsistent. What you shall eat, what you drink, what you can put on your body. Life's more than meat, the body more than raiment. It's inconsistent. It does not go in the same breath to say, I believe God, and worry. God has created you, one, and then saved you, second, and bought you by His blood, and that's what makes worry inconsistent. There's four things in this text of Scripture that we worry about. Food, fashion, what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, fitness, adding, people worry about getting bigger, getting stronger, adding more height or getting smaller or getting bigger. It's just funny how people are. It's funny how people are not really, and I think we ought to be healthy, amen, to some degree. I don't think God ought to consume us. I think we ought to be healthy for the Lord. But to be completely incontent of who God made you is sinful. To want to change yourself so much. People worry about, I worry about what people think about me. I worry how I appear. That worry is a sin. Adding stature, verse 27, one cubit. The worry of food and fashion and fitness, and then your future is in verse 34. All that worry about those four things is inconsistent. And number two, that worry is irrational. It's irrational. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. Just look at the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Worry is irrational. The birds are taken care of. The birds are taken care of. You ever hear the birds sing? What are they singing? They're singing that their heavenly Father takes care of them. They're singing every day. If you've never listened to Billy Cashwell's sermon, you need to go find it on WZYN.org in our sermon vault and listen to the birds are singing. The birds are still singing. Powerful, encouraging. That is probably one of the most encouraging sermons you'll ever listen to. It will bless your heart. The birds are still singing. It just paints a picture of how because the birds still sing and we hear the birds sing, it's a testament to the faithfulness and care of our God. See, worry is irrational because if he's going to feed a little, think of a little sparrow. I mean, just a little old bird. I saw him out there earlier. Talk about God taking care of him. I saw him out there early this morning. There's a little air conditioner drain right on the side of the radio station. And it pulls out a little thing of water right there. Kicks it out right there. And they were just having the time of their life, Miss Lynn, getting that water. You know, we haven't had much rain here lately, right? And those birds found that they're drinking air conditioner water. Isn't that something? God's taking care of them. They're just happy as could be. Little sparrows. And we wonder, is God going to take care of us? And the birds, they got what they need, even if it came out of the air conditioner. Even if we tomato juice and saltines or ramen noodles or saltine crackers or whatever it is, you know, we're all spoiled, you know. God's going to take care of us. Take care of the birds. He'll take care of one of his redeemed, right? Worry's irrational. Worry's inconsistent. But you know what? Has worry ever worked for you? Has it ever worked for you to worry? Can I get any testimonies on worry working? Laugh at yourself for a minute. No, it never has worked. Praying's worked, but worrying never has worked. Worry kills some people. Cemeteries are full of people that worry too much. Churches are empty because people worried too much. They just worried themselves to no spiritual strength whatsoever. They just stayed right there in that spot I was talking about this morning until they just shriveled up. Worry's never worked. Worry is ineffective, number three. Worry is ineffective. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You think, I'm going to worry about how I look. I'm going to worry about adding a cubit to my stature. I'm going to worry about this bill. And I'm going to worry about my children. And I'm going to worry about my grandchildren. I mean, we ought to care. We ought to pray. But we ought not to worry because it's ineffective. You can't add one height or length by worrying to your body. I mean, doctors prescribe thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to people who worry. They just worry. We're not talking about some problem that people have mentally. I'm talking about they just worry about stuff. A lot of the things can be taken care of with faith in God. Worry robs us. Somebody said worry robs today of strength and robs the ability to enjoy the next day. It does. It just saps the strength because it's ineffective. It's not going to work anyways. Look at verse 28. Worry is illogical. And why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow and they toil not, neither do they spin. Those flowers out there aren't working. Those flowers aren't out there working. They're in front. You drive by those flowers and see those white roses and those pink roses up against the church. They ain't working to grow. Once they get in the ground real good, our Heavenly Father gives them what they need to bloom. He gives them the fashion. He gives them the blooms. They don't do anything. They're just sitting there. They're just waiting for the right nutrients from heaven to get what they need to grow. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? This would be a good proof text that Christians ought to put clothes on too, amen? Sure, God's for clothing, amen, to cover up our bodies. But that's not what he's really saying here. He's saying here, you're not going to have to worry about having provision for your clothing. God will clothe you. God will give you the ability to have what you need. It's illogical. It doesn't make any sense. And you know what else? The last of things. Verse 31 and 32. Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Those are the three things that we worry about. Food, drink, or clothing. Those are base necessities. He's not talking about our wants. Let me just add this here real quick. You might think, well, it would be legitimate to worry about food if I was close to not having food or something to drink or clothing. I mean, those are base necessities. You know, the things probably that we worry about are probably things that we don't even need. Now, that's hard for me to even say right here. Things that I think about or worry about or get my mind to, they're probably not even about food. I'm just going to be honest with you. I hope I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. I don't know when the last time I've had to think about what to eat. And most of you probably are in that case. And if you legitimately need some food, legitimately, and you're not using your money so unwisely, I want to know if you need food, the church will take care of you. Right? That's what we're here for. Most of us aren't worrying about food. We just might not get the food that we want. Right? Yeah, we're pretty much doing all right, I think. And we're not really worrying about what to drink. It's just, I'm like worried about clean water in America. We got that. You can go over to a foreign country, get on Sea Hope and go to Haiti. Now, they might have something to worry about when they're eating trash food off the ground. No good running water. But we're worrying if we can have sweet tea or Pepsi or a coffee through a drive-thru. That's not, you see what I'm saying? And then we're worrying if our white shirts are clean enough. I don't have a white one on. That's a surprise. I thought I had a white shirt. I usually always wear a white shirt. But you know what I mean. I'm telling April, I got to get some more white shirts. Things are dirty. I can't keep them clean. You know, say little petty things. You're exactly right. Petty for sure. Right? Worrying about if it's, sometimes wearing clothes are too old. They on you. They covering you. You know? Got to get them more clothes. Who had a mama that used to patch their boys' jeans? Yeah, there you look at those hands. Who had a mama that would go to Goodwill? Who had a mama that used to go to Food Harvest and get food from Food Harvest or something like that? I remember Food Harvest coming to a Christian school. I remember getting excited when they gave us, when the Food Harvest would provide my favorite cereal. I remember drinking powdered milk. It was good for me. It was good for me. Then I remember when we didn't get powdered milk, brother. I remember when Mom and Dad got some goats. Started having goat's milk. Now that's an acquired taste. If you drink goat's milk after you drink cow's milk, that's a change. But I started loving goat's milk because we just didn't have everything. But we were fine. We didn't go without a meal. I remember one of my favorite meals, Peter, I ever had was white rice with cinnamon and sugar. That was delicious with a little bit of milk in it, probably goat's milk and cinnamon and sugar. Who grew up on small things like that and you appreciate it today? Amen. I remember one of my favorite meals Mom would make would be taco rolls. She'd roll out those taco rolls and she'd just put just a sprinkling of ground beef in there with chili powder on the ground beef. Just a sprinkle. Why not? Because hamburger's expensive. It was $1 a pound then. And throw it in there and she'd roll them things up and she'd cut them up and they'd be little rolls. And then we'd have a little bit of tomato juice on the side. Dip them in that tomato juice while we'd be watching the Bulls beat everybody else. That was good stuff. God always took care of us. You think He's going to forsake a man of God? You think He's going to forsake a pastor that's given his life to Him? You think He's going to forsake the tree that bears fruit? No. He's going to take care of us. And also while He takes care of us, He's going to let us learn to appreciate the little things in life. Because God is our satisfaction, not things. God is our joy, not things. Not because you've got the shirt with the logo on it, but you've got a shirt. Not because you've got the shoes, they've got the logo on it, but you've got shoes. If you've got shoes with the right logo on it, God bless you. We've got some in our house, but not many. They were probably birthday presents. It meant something to them. And Brady's probably the one wearing them because he loves basketball. But we don't. I want everybody to learn that it's not about the things. It's about Him that provides them. We can't be relying upon those things. I don't know how we got down that road. All the Gentiles seek after those things. That's where that was going to. The world seeks after those things. The world, more, more, more. But the Christian says, I've got enough the way it is right now. Jesus is my supply. I'm happy in Jesus alone, the songwriter says. But worry is irreligious. That's the last point before we get to the hub of the message to conclude it in verse 33. Worry is irreligious. Did you get all those? Worry is inconsistent. It's irrational. It's ineffective. It's illogical. And it's irreligious. What do you mean? Listen, the Gentiles, the people that don't know God, God is saying His word, those are the things that their life revolve around. What you put on your back, what you put on your shoes, what kind of stature you are, what is better in the future. I'm telling you, people that preach on a better future all the time are giving indication that they don't know anything about the living God. Our future is bright because Jesus is coming soon. I'm not looking to have a better life now. I've got a better life now with Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh, all that prosperity theology, that's straight out of the pits of hell. I wouldn't listen to T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen if you gave me $100. Don't listen to that. That's garbage. That's prosperity gospel. And your faith will go bankrupt on that stuff. You'll figure out one day, they selling me a bill of goods, so I'll keep listening to them because it makes me feel like I'm going to have a better tomorrow. Our hope is not set in this world. Set not your affection in this world, but set your affection on things above. The Gentiles seek after the things of this world. Our treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. It's irreligious. Notice with me that God says in verse 25, thought, take no thought for your life. In verse 37, He uses the word thought. Which of you by taking thought, verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment, verse 28. And then verse 31, therefore take no thought saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to clothe? And then verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. But God is not saying, I repeat, not to think. He says, just don't think. Don't even let it come into your mind that God is not able to provide you for those things. But think about this. Think about this. Here we go. Think about this. Think about the system of priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I've always learned that the but erases everything before it. See that in verse 33? But. So everything before it you erase. Don't think about what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Don't think about all those things that weigh you down. Don't think about all those things. You just do this. This you think about. This you put your mind on every day. Wake up in the morning. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to seek ye first. That fixes everything. When God is in his preeminent place, we don't have to worry. But if you don't have Christ first in your life, you can worry about something. You understand that? If you think for a moment that you're not in the center of God's will, then you got something to worry about. I've been there before when I knew I was not right with the Lord. And when we're that way, we know you got something to worry about then. You understand? But when you're seeking him first before all other things, do you think I'm going to worry about where my food's coming from and my clothes are? No, I don't have to worry about that because I know I'm putting God first in my life. Does that make sense? Say amen, church. That's how you slay worry in your life is when you get your priorities right. First things first. First things first, your Father. Verse 32 and in verse number 26 refers to your heavenly Father knowing what you need. First things first, you think about your Father. If he's going to take care of that little birdie and he's going to take care of them lilies, don't you think he's going to take care of one of his redeemed ones that's seeking him before everything else in life? Sure he is. That slays worry. The Father. System of priorities. The Father. The first. Seek him first, verse 33. Before all other things. Is he first? I love them that seek me early, the Bible says. God says, I love them that seek me early, that seek me first. Is he first? Is he before all others? Is it this or him or her or that or this first, or is Jesus first? Is he first? Is comfort first? Is ease first? Is money first? Is job first? Is husband first? Wife first? Hobbies first? Is Jesus first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. A person with wrong priorities that's saved is going to worry. They're going to worry about things that are unessential. They're unessential. They don't even matter, but they're going to worry about them because they got their mind in the wrong place. A lot of the things that we worry about as Christians, we have no business worrying about because it doesn't even matter to God. Truth be told, if you're in the way that you ought to be, some things is just like, oh, whatever. I mean, sometimes I want to be as nice as possible, but I'm trying to get a point across. I hear some people worrying about some things, and I'm not talking, and I'm thinking, doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. Because when somebody has a different set of values that's higher than anybody else's, it makes life awful simple, doesn't it? It looks pretty easy, really. A divided heart can't believe and doubt. But a full heart will only believe. The future is mentioned here in verse 34 as well. See, give them your future. System of priorities. Seek him as a person. Make it personal. Seek ye. Make a priority of it first. And then there's a promise. And all these things will be added unto you. Those things that you need, those necessities of life, you can count on it. They're going to be added for you. God will not forsake his own that seek him first. There's not only a system of priorities, but last of all, there is a strategic program. Number one, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't dwell on tomorrows. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. Because sufficient unto right now is the evil thereof. You realize there's enough evil in the day. There's enough evil in today that you don't need to borrow from tomorrow's. Meaning by that, there's enough problems in your life today. Why are you going to take some from tomorrow when tomorrow's not even here? Don't dwell on tomorrow's. Somebody said when you dwell on tomorrow's, it blurs blessings, it steals strength, and it provides unnecessary problems. It blurs blessings, steals strength, and provides problems that are just unnecessary. Don't steal from it. Just give us, ready? Give us this day our daily bread. This day. Don't be so far out in advance that we can't enjoy the day that God has given us. Don't dwell on tomorrows. And don't dwell on yesterdays. Don't go back in the past and dwell on everything. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All those things are done. Don't dwell on yesterday's sins. Don't dwell on yesterday's successes. And don't dwell on yesterday's sorrows. It's in the past. Count not yourself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't dwell on yesterday's sins, successes, or sorrows. Die to yesterday. Die to yesterday. Die to the past. Die to it. Somebody came up to an older preacher. They said, what's it mean to die to self? What's it mean to be a dead man in Christ? When Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, I die daily. Who knows what I'm talking about? I reckon myself dead and crucified. And the old preacher said, well, I tell you what, go out to the cemetery. Go out to the cemetery and start yelling at that man on the ground and tell him how awful he is. Tell him how just terrible he is. And just tell him every name in the book. Just get after him and tell him this about himself and that about himself. Everything ugly and nasty, tell it to him and see what happens. The young preacher came back and said, nothing happened. He said, okay, now go back out there and go tell him the same thing again, the same opposite thing. Tell him how good he is, how wonderful he is, how great he is. Just brag on him. See what he does. Came back, what'd he do? Nothing. He said, there you go. That's a dead man. Amen? We have to die daily, don't we? Die every day. And you die every day. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. Die to the past. We all have something inside of us that loves for people to rave over us, don't we? There's all something inside of you that when you do something good, you thought it was you that did it. We've all got something inside of us. I got it inside of me. And that old devil will get up inside of me and say, boy, you're a good preacher. There dwelleth in me no good thing. All of my goodness is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. How about you? None of us are good. We have to die to those things. We have to die to the past. Don't dwell on tomorrows. Don't dwell on yesterdays, sins, successes, and sorrows. Dwell on today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just dwell on the problems that you have today. The evil that's in the day, you have to deal with something. It's not that you don't deal with it, but dwell on today. Don't get any more from tomorrow. Don't get any more from, you know, I realize Jackson looks like he's 16. It looks like he's going to go to college tomorrow, but he's not. I've still got so many years with him. He's only 12. He's not even in high school yet. Amen? I don't have to think that he's gone already because he's still living in my home. Amen? He's still here. And that's just an illustration of something. So many times, oh man, this is going to happen then. Oh my. And you just sucked all your strength out of the day that God gave you. Dwell on today, the blessings of the day. Are you winning the worry war? Are you defeating doubt? I don't know if something I've said's helped you, but I want to close with two things. Number one, Your responsibility is take your cares and throw them on Jesus. You're going to get them. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to use a word right now that I'm not supposed to use in the pulpit. They're stupid, aren't they? They really are silly. You ever think about the things you think about? And you're like, what in the world am I doing? Right? I think they are so stupid, and here's the reason why. Because they come from the evil one. He'll throw those things up in your mind. You know what you do? As quick as he throws them at you, you throw them at Jesus. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and what will he do? He shall sustain thee. Give them to him. That'd be my advice for worry. Just give them to him. Just as soon as you get them, give them back. Because God is your caretaker. And number two, this is where the message or the rubber hits the road. We got to make sure our priorities are right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm thankful that you're faithful. But we always have to do all we can to make sure he is the priority, that he is supreme. And when he is, life starts making sense. Have you ever had a spot in time in your life when Christ was not supreme and he was not priority? And boy, I'm telling you what, your life was a tailspin. Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all not being honest in here, okay? You know, I remember those times. And life got out of control. I'm telling you why life becomes beautifully simple when you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then you can have confidence, no doubt about it. Yeah, all these things, they're going to be added unto me. God's going to take care of me. Sometimes I think, Miss Lynn, I think, how in the world are all, if God wants them to go to college, how in the world are all of my children going to go to college? Because if it hasn't occurred to anybody else, I've got four of them that will all be in about the same time. Bless them, Lord. But you know, you think about those things and you say, not to me. I don't want the glory. But I've been trying to do my best. I know how to live for the Lord, put him first, have to realign priorities from time to time. Anybody know what I mean? But I just say, hey, I think the Lord's going to take care of that. Because I certainly don't know how I'm going to take care of it, but I think the Lord will provide. And I don't know what you're going through in your life, but here tonight just say, Lord, I'm putting you first again. I'm seeking you first again. I'm putting you number one. I'll make sure my priorities are right. I'm not going to make bad decisions. I'm putting you first in every decision in my life between me and my wife, my family. Everything is number one. You're number one. And I'm just going to trust you. And when the cares come, I'm just going to throw them to Jesus because he careth for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand together. Thank you for hearing the Word of God, a wonderful text of Scripture that we all love so much that has brought encouragement to the saints for many, many, many centuries. And we get to hear it again tonight. It's just God's Word. Winning the worry war. You might be here tonight and say, I've got some things and problems and some issues, and I need to take them to the Lord. I really just need to give myself to the Lord. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means seeking him first. Give yourself to the Lord completely and say, Lord, you take care of it. I don't know how I'm going to do all this, but I'm going to trust you to take care of it, and I'm just putting you first in my life. That could be you tonight. Yeah. We're not made to figure it out. We're made to trust God. Heavenly Father, bless your word. I feel as deep down in my heart that somebody really needed this message. And Lord, I pray you'd work in their life. Speak to their heart and let them know that you care for them and you love them and you have their best interests in mind. Help them to just be able to lay it at your feet. Thank you for being our caretaker. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Christ's name, amen.